It's 4 o'clock at KSL News Radio. Blue sky, we have 31 degrees.
Sluggish volume, South I-15 through Midvale. I'm Mark Jackson.
I'm Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story. Breaking news from the White House this afternoon. After months of argument and debate, the president today took action and declared a new national monument in San Juan County. Utah Republican political leaders are outraged.
I think it's terrible. I think it's inexcusable. And the people of the United States deserve better than this.
Well, I'm KSL's Doug Wright, and we're tossing out everything this afternoon. We're bringing you a special hour of coverage on the new monument, not only in the state of Utah, but there's a new monument over in southeastern Nevada as well. And it all begins with KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson live at the state capitol. Paul?
Well, Doug, the Bears Ears Monument is 1.35 million acres, which is smaller than what tribal leaders had been asking for. However, officials with the White House said in a press call today that even people who opposed the president designating the land as a national monument agreed that the land should get federal protection somehow, even though they disagreed on how that should be done. This designation also comes with the announcement of a first-of-its-kind tribal commission with one member of each of the five Native American tribes involved in their efforts. Reporting live, Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
Thank you, Paul. Utah Representative Rob Bishop has led the attack against this new monument among the state's congressional delegation. He's spearheaded an alternative plan, the Public Lands Initiative. Representative Bishop is with us live now on the KSL Newsline.
Rob, this is Doug Wright, and I appreciate you joining us today. First of all, let's get your gut initial reaction. When did you find out, and what is that reaction?
I found out maybe an hour or so ago. In a very classy move, I think the administration left a voice message on my phone to call them about this thing. And I hope you got the bleeper on there, because I'm going to try and do this without swear words, but I don't know if it's humanly possible.
Well, I heard the passion in Senator Lee's voice as well, and in his comments just a few moments ago when we chatted with him. I understand that there was actually verbiage used in the declaration of this monument, or at least intent, that comes from the Public Lands Initiative. One person that I talked to just a moment ago, our friend Boyd Matheson at Sutherland Institute, said it's like Utah kind of wrote the mortgage, paid the mortgage, and we're not getting the house.
Well, it is, but it's all subterfuge. It's all to kind of gloss over the ineptitude of this designation and this administration. So, for example, on the management, the co-management language, what they put in their declaration is what they told us originally was unacceptable. And it was unacceptable to me because it is what is allowed by law, which gives them absolutely no management opportunity whatsoever. The administration can't do it. They legally can't do it. Only Congress can, and we wanted to do it. But what is appalling to me now is that they took our language and now they put it into their designation, and they're saying that the groups that opposed it earlier are now in favor of it. I'm sorry, there's just gross hypocrisy with that.
It is so interesting, you know, Rob, I've heard not only from you but from others, including Congressman Chaffetz, that about a month ago the administration just flat went dark. I've heard it described as almost an eerie silence. So this sounds like it's been afoot for some time, and just everybody's been kept in the dark, which Utah, unfortunately, is somewhat familiar with, hearkening back to the bad old days of the Grand Staircase Declaration.
Yes, it is. But here's the problem with this declaration. Two misconceptions, almost two inaccuracies. Number one is that they tried to mirror the boundaries that we came in our Public Lands Initiative. No, they didn't. What we had is multiple conservation plan units for different purposes. They've actually lumped that all together and said, look, we're doing the same thing you are. No, they're not. The second one is this promise of management. The administration overpromised. They can't deliver. Now they're trying to hide the fact. I like the idea of giving them Native Americans the ability of controlling the management of this land. It can't be done. It can only be done by Congress. It is not going to be done by this designation.
We had earlier...
Third, go ahead. Simply, they lied about the process. If you have areas that need to be protected, it's being protected now by BLM. You make it a monument, it's going to be protected by the same BLM people that are supposedly not protecting it. So what they're saying is a greater protection. That's the third great misstatement.
When we chatted the other day, Rob, you mentioned that, and it really struck me that basically the same management, the same people, the same enforcement, the same individuals, nothing changes other than now it's a national monument, which puts many more restrictions, many more liabilities on the state of Utah. People in San Juan County who over the years have made a living from this, arguably even restrictions now on Native Americans who think that they are going to get passes on the various things that they need within this monument designation. But if we still have the same people patrolling it, we still have the same people over it, we still have the same individuals that are supposed to be guarding these precious sites that are in imminent danger, I don't get it either. It is baffling to me on this one.
No, and it's even worse. When the Native Americans who lived in Utah came to us first with the idea of being able to use this for their traditional religious cultural activities, they had specific desires of how they wanted to use it. We tried to write that into our public lands initiative. It cannot be allowed in into a management plan, and it cannot be allowed in to this designation. So the kind of flexibility the Native Americans who live in Utah wanted to use this area will not be allowed under a monument designation. And even if they don't like to admit that, that's the reality of it.
Congressman Doug, something that flashed by a little bit earlier this afternoon, that it was originally expected the designation would be approximately 1.9 million acres. This is 1.35 million acres. Is there any solace in the smaller footprint of the monument?
I think, because some of the areas that we had were concerned about for potential mining have been eliminated from what the original 1.9 million acres was. So I guess that gives you some consolation in the long run. But in the short term, this is still a violation of the process, and it's a violation of the will of the people down there. And let's face it, the difference between a monument designation is the president paid off some of his environmental backers. They got what they wanted without having to try and balance it off with anything else for the community or for guaranteeing recreation opportunities. That's what we were trying to do in PLI, is take conservation areas and balance them with economic opportunities and recreation opportunities. Well, now you got the conservation in this small corner, and the rest of it's simply been forgotten.
Congressman Bishop, this takes us out of the state of Utah, but two national monuments were declared today, Bears Ears and Gold Butte National Monument. And I've heard this now from several different sources, that and it's been described to me by some as almost like, you know, poking the hornet's nest here, that a lot of the land now that is being designated Golden Butte in southeastern Nevada is all the land or some of the land surrounding the Clive and Bundy Ranch. Is that correct?
I've heard that. I don't know if I can verify it yet. If it is correct, that shows that this is a purely blatant political movement.
A final quick question on our monument. There have been rumblings, and boy, Mike Lee brought this up when we chatted with him. Whoops, I just think we lost that. I was going to ask him about the possibility of going in now and having President Trump actually overturn this. And again, that would be, as has been described by those who have been legal experts with the Interior Department, as uncharted territory. But it is interesting that the president's authority to do this, the president basically has no authority to do this other than what has been granted by Congress, in this case, the Antiquities Act.
Correct.
So now we have a president who has really no direct authority over the lands, save only what is authorized by Congress. So what might be retribution or concerns that are brought up by Congress? That could be a real interesting question.
I'm transfixed by the size, 1.35 million acres. I did the quick Google translation, 2,100 square miles.
Oh, it's huge. When you look at 1.9, when we were working at 1.9, bigger than Delaware, bigger than Rhode Island, about a little better than one-third the size of Vermont, one-third the size of New Hampshire. This is a huge, huge area of land. And if you were to take the 1.9 of the Grand Staircase now and the 1.35 of the new Bears Ears, I mean, we are talking huge areas that back east would basically be counted as a full state.
Utah land that moves to federal control. Doug Wright is with us because he's been following this story so closely for months and months, interviewing the experts and those involved. He's going to stay with us as our in-depth coverage continues here on KSL News Radio. We're going to take a brief break for traffic and weather together now on KSL. Ricky Meese starts Triple Team Traffic.
We do have traffic that's a little heavy and slow southbound I-15 between 7200 and 106 South, plus a small accident westbound on the 21st South Freeway at the 3200 West off-ramp. Michelle?
I'm looking at just a little bit of backup from California Avenue down to Highway 201 on 5600 West, but nothing really major beyond that, and I-15 in Utah County, both directions looking real good. Mark?
Yeah, taking it on up out of downtown and into Davis County, north I-15. Yet to see any huge delays, but there are already some slowdowns heading Hill Air Force Base SR-193 over to the freeway. Right now, Big O Tires save $70 off select sets of tires. Big O Tires, the team you trust. Mark Jackson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines on KSL News Radio. Let's go to the Weather Center.
Well, sunshine's back for us, but with all the snow on the ground and warm air trying to roll in, we're going to be dealing with the inversion trying to build back in as we head towards the weekend for Thursday. We'll start off with temperatures in the teens, and we'll warm our way up to a high around 35 degrees, all under mostly sunny skies, but you'll see that haze really starting to develop once again as we make our way throughout the day on Thursday, and it'll last until Sunday. I'm Dan Guthrie in the KSL Weather Center.
31 degrees in Salt Lake City. I'm Jeff Kaplan, continuing our special hour of coverage, Utah's new monument. I'm joined by KSL's Doug Wright. We also have Utah Representative Jason Chaffetz on the KSL Newsline now.
Jason, I appreciate you joining us here, and you, along with Congressman Bishop, were really at the spear point of trying to put a push against this monument and what has been described as perhaps a midnight monument. Well, it's midnight here in the Garden of Good and Evil, and are you at all surprised that the president chose this time, this space? Last time you and I talked, the date we all heard was December 23rd.
Yeah, well, look, while he's off body surfing in Maui, we've got this midnight monument. It's a place he's never been and will never go. The complete and utter arrogance of his taking this land and changing its designation unilaterally without any consideration of anybody at the local level is absolutely just beyond pale. I was told about it about 50 minutes before it happened. And that ought to be a flashing red light that they were scared. They didn't want us to reveal this information, but I will spend every waking moment the people of Utah allow me to be in public office to get this thing taken down, repealed, defunded, every political and legal tool we have to get rid of it.
I've been observing Utah politics now for a long, long time, as have you, Jason, and I've never seen quite this united a front. And the governor just a moment ago in a statement said, I'm more than disappointed by President Obama's decision today to designate a Bears Ears National Monument in southeastern Utah. I am deeply disturbed by what has resulted from a troubling process. And when I think of what unfolded on the Capitol's rotunda area a week ago, and you were unable to attend at that time, but you and I chatted, I've never seen anything like it. Our entire federal delegation, every statewide elected official in the state of Utah, and the three commissioners from San Juan County and others, I've never seen such a united front.
Everybody, every elected official at every level of government in the state of Utah is absolutely, completely, totally opposed to this, including Rebecca Benally, a registered Democrat who is from the Navajo Nation, who's on the San Juan County Commission. She's opposed to it. And when I did talk to the Secretary Jewell, who gave me, like I said, about 50 minutes notice, I told her, I said, I am the chairman of the Oversight Committee. I do have the ability to investigate anything at any time. I am given unilateral authority to issue subpoenas. You're getting a letter tomorrow, and I'm going to drag every single person up there for depositions. You tell them to lawyer up because they're going to spend every waking moment coming before my committee in depositions explaining to us why we weren't told, why we weren't informed, why we weren't part of this process. We gave them notice in February that we were doing this. We produced a bill in April. We asked for a meeting with the president. They never, ever, other than the technical changes that they're required by law, never, ever did the administration ever suggest, if you change X, Y, or Z, then we'll come and do this. They didn't do that. They just unilaterally took these radical environmental ideas and didn't do any of the other stuff. There's absolutely no balance, and I will do everything I can to fight it.
The way this reads from Washington is that this land has now been preserved for hikers of future generations like that. Let's go back and do the 101 version for people who are new to Utah and don't understand what this fight is about. Why the virulent opposition?
Well, because you unilaterally give more authority to the federal government to change the designation at any whim that they so choose. And that is what's fundamentally flawed. So if you have a grazing permit, maybe you're a fifth-generation Utahan who's down there in San Juan, you've got your cattle grazing, but maybe 3-4 years from now your cattle permit gets done. Then the BLM can go back and say, well, you know what, we're going to reduce cattle by 50%. Or let's say there's a road that goes through San Juan County that's been there for 100-plus years. With this new designation, now they can go back and say, well, you know, there's an antiquity that's worth saving that's about 50 yards over to the side of that road, so we're going to close that road. It just creates more uncertainty for people who actually live there, who actually appreciate the land, that want to preserve the land. In its own perverse way, it's just totally devastating in a huge swatch of land. This is not 50 acres. This is 1.3 million plus acres of land.
Jason, let's talk about the assurances given to the great people of Garfield County and those who were affected by Grand Staircase. There's a great track record of the United States government fulfilling not only long-term but the short-term promises as well. That's been a debacle.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. You'll be just fine. Even today's release says, oh, all the oil, all the gas, all the other cattlemen, they have nothing to worry about. I don't trust the federal government, and neither should you. Nobody should. And so when they just unilaterally change this, instead of working through Congress, this is why I think the president is exceptionally arrogant on this, he has totally dismissed every single buddy, every other opinion out there that says that we should listen to local people and the people that are elected to represent the people of Utah and of San Juan County. Just dismiss all of that. I know better. Even though I've never been there, never will go there, we're just going to do it my way and screw everything else.
Representative Jason Chaffetz is on the line with us here at KSL News Radio. When we talked a little earlier with Senator Mike Lee, boy, he seemed adamant that this could be the straw that breaks Congress's back when it comes to at least the way the Antiquities Act has been used. And it's interesting because the president has no direct authority over the lands in the United States of America, period, except as is authorized by Congress. Has this president, perhaps as part of his legacy, set the stage for changing the Antiquities Act?
Yeah, if there's a silver lining, it's the idea that we have the tool and the vehicle to actually take down the Antiquities Act in its entirety from top to bottom. This is an egregious case, not a small parcel that they took, where there had absolutely no local support, no input from the members of the delegation, from the governor to the members of Congress, the House and the Senate, down to local county commissioners, city council, you name it. Everybody's in opposition, but the president goes ahead and does it anyway. So you want to come up with a legal case. That's a good point. The other thing is the president has promised the people of the Navajo Nation and other tribes that they're going to get co-management. Well, guess what? You can't do that, Mr. President. It's a violation of the Appointments Clause. You can't unilaterally designate the authorities needed to manage something and just give them to somebody else. So the legal case is, I think, going to be pretty strong to actually take this one down. And I think the Navajos and the others are going to wake up and say, wow, that was, I can't believe we were snookered yet again by the federal government who promised us all this management, and they're actually going to get none.
Jason, we've just got
to do that through Congress. You can't just have a president designated.
We've got 1 minute before we need to break, but very quickly, taking us out of the state of Utah into southeastern Nevada. Now, I don't know how much information you have on this, but I've been hearing, and I've had it confirmed by several different sources, that this new monument over there in Nevada, Gold Butte National Monument, will include much of the BLM land that surrounds the Bundy Ranch. And regardless of what anyone's thoughts might be on the Bundy family, Clive and Bundy and others, is that poking the hornet's nest?
Look, I don't know the validity of that, but I can tell you I've been told, not directly, but I've been indirectly told,
that law enforcement was given a heads up before members of Congress or anybody else were. And I think that's the administration admitting that they know there might be violence there. I hope that's not the case. I hope everybody takes a deep breath and realizes that there's a way to do this. But it does give me grave concern that these actions, the way they're done, it makes a lot of people very upset, to say the least.
A passionate Jason Chaffetz, Utah congressman, joining us live on the KSL Newsline. Our special hour of coverage, Utah's new monument, will continue in just a moment. First, if you're on the road, we have you covered. KSL News Time 420. Triple Team Traffic, here's Ricky Meese.
Southbound I-15, just a little busy and slow as you're going between the South Interchange in Murray through Sandy at about 106 South. Michelle?
Great travel times, I-15 through Utah County, Mark.
Still not seeing any major delays, anything unusual. In fact, a lighter than normal commute. South Salt Lake through downtown and into Davis County. The Salt Lake Home Show, January 6th through 8th at the Southtown Expo Center. For more information and discount tickets, go to saltlakehomeshow.com. Mark Jackson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines, a 7-day forecast. Let's go to the KSL Weather Center, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Farmington.
Well, Jeff, the inversion is going to be building back in as we make our way toward the weekend. We're looking at sunshine for the day on Thursday, up to 35. More sunshine for Friday, up to 36. And partly cloudy with a high of 34 on Saturday. But again, we're going to see that haze and that smog really start to thicken up over the next couple of days. For Sunday, for New Year's Day, we're going to have snow showers that will be developing during the afternoon hours. Those will be on and off throughout the day on Monday and into Tuesday as well. And we'll also see high temperatures plummeting. 28 for Monday, 24 for Tuesday, and a high of only 20 for Wednesday. I'm Dan Guthrie in the KSL Weather Center.
31 degrees in Salt Lake City. KSL News Time 421, continuing our special hour of coverage, Utah's new monument. We've heard now from several members of Utah's congressional delegation. They are outraged over President Obama's designation of 1.3 million acres to become Bears Ears National Monument in San Juan County.
But the move is being heralded by some in the outdoor industry, environmental circles, and among some tribal representatives as well. And Josh Ewing is the director of the group Friends of Cedar Mesa. He's with us live now on the KSL Newsline. And Josh, let's talk for just a moment. This designation is a little bit smaller than what proponents had asked for, from 1.9 to 1.35. Is this going to achieve the goals that you would like to see, protecting the natural and cultural resources of the Bears Ears areas? And many people feel that preservation in this area is absolutely essential, but they've been a little concerned with the overall process. Is the 1.35 going to do the job?
Well, there are certainly world-class archaeological resources that will be left out of protection by this monument. San Juan County is the most archaeologically rich county in the United States. So there will be something left out. But the majority of the real world-class resources are protected by this designation. Of course, it also needs to be protected by local people stewarding the land and people coming together to support long-term preservation. But it is a very important first step of recognizing the historic nature of this area.
Years ago, my family had the privilege of going back to Williamsburg, and one of the great characters there at the Governor's Palace came up and asked all of us where we were from. And when my family indicated that we were from Utah, he just got this rapturous look, this character that was kind of decked out like Benjamin Franklin. He shouldn't have been in Williamsburg necessarily, but he was in character, and he said, you know, he said, your whole state should be a national park. And this was right after Grand Staircase, and I just quipped back and I said, well, if President Clinton has his way, it might be. You mentioned that all of San Juan County is kind of a treasure. Isn't that kind of the trick in all of this? Because you're right. Our whole state could be a national park, but we do have 3 million people that live and work here, so that makes it a challenge.
Yeah, I think that is what we are so blessed with here in Utah, and why many of us, like myself, moved to this state and choose to live here is because it's such an amazing place to live, and the public lands are such an asset to us as a state. And I think they're more of an asset when they are protected and preserved in a way that allows us to continue to enjoy and access them. And I really believe that this proclamation and today's protection, it's not going to shut people out, and the sky is not going to fall the way some politicians are saying that it will. particularly if we put aside ideology and decide to work together to make this monument the best it can possibly be. I know that's probably asking too much for some people, but I think the cooler minds will get together and realize what an asset this is for our state and work to make it something that can be beneficial long term.
As we have talked about here at KSL on my show and so on, that I have yet to meet a person, honestly, I have yet to meet a person who doesn't believe that there should be Herculean efforts in this area, that there is so much to preserve, that there is so much. And some have advocated that there should be national parks carved out of this, wilderness areas above and beyond a national monument. But some have expressed concern at just kind of putting down this kind of footprint, especially in light of some of the lessons learned on Grand Staircase. And as you pointed out, the sky did not fall, but for some people it did. For some people that had been assured that roads would be available, for some people who had been assured that their grazing rights, for Garfield County, which is 10% privately owned, I think San Juan County is 8% privately owned, a lot of those assurances at the time did not long-term pan out. Are you convinced that especially for our Native American people, for the indigenous people of the state of Utah, the Aneth tribe and others, are you assured that the promises made this time by this president will be upheld where they weren't before with Grand Staircase?
Well, I could go into a long debate with you about Grand Staircase, and there's a lot of ideological bending of facts around that national monument as well. But I can simply say this. It will be my responsibility and the responsibility of local people living here to work to make sure that those assurances are upheld. I think that really is what it comes down to. If we decide to stick our head in the sand, who knows what will happen. But if we're involved with taking care of this place, we're involved with the management plan being put together, I think we'll all have a much better outcome in the end. I mean, the real sad thing would be is if this beautiful landscape that we all agree needs to be protected gets thrown under the bus for political purposes because somebody doesn't like, you know, the way it was protected, as opposed to us coming together and saying, well, what can we do to make sure this is permanently protected and preserved? I mean, the reality is there was a better option, and the better option was to go through Congress and for us to all work together. But that never happened because of politics. And I hope that politics doesn't get in the way long-term of us doing the right thing here.
Josh Ewing is the director of the group Friends of Cedar Mesa. We appreciate you joining us live now on the KSL Newsline. And we're with Doug Wright from The Doug Wright Show, who's been covering this issue so closely for months and months.
It'll be interesting now to see what indeed does happen, because there are lands there that absolutely need to and should be preserved. Everybody agrees. And the disagreement lies with, first of all, the girth of it, how much of it should be arbitrary, whether or not there should be some specificity, whether or not some parts of this should have been a national park versus a national monument, whether some parts should be wilderness area versus a national monument, how much of it should have oil and natural gas rights and other extraction rights. So there are many questions that are still floating around. It was interesting. I can't remember if it was Congressman Chaffetz or if it was Congressman Bishop that we were talking to, where with the 1.35 versus the 1.9 now, some lands with extraction issues, oil and natural gas, and some are now not included.
They're removed from the equation.
Within the equation itself. But it is an interesting thing because I know a lot of the people in Garfield County. I know them well. I count one, who the former mayor of Tropic, Utah, down in Garfield County, as one of my dear, dear friends. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, everybody can argue a point on this, but a lot of the assurances that people in Garfield County thought that they had on Grand Staircase, I mean, I'm talking with some of the locals that live there, some of the locals that make their living
there. I want to get specific because you've alluded to this a few times. Can you share specifics?
Extraction industries, all kinds of things, grazing privileges, even some rights onto lands and properties, some access to lands and properties. And you look at what, when you have only 10% of a county that is privately owned, and you look at the largest employer now in Garfield County, and Ruby's Inn is a great and wonderful place there at Bryce National Park, but that is the largest employer now, where there used to be all kinds of extraction industries. You look at some of the management of that land that has been suspect. You, for those who have been up in Duck Creek, now that's a little different area, but you go up there and you see what the bark beetle has done, and you look at some of the laws now that keep even the good husbandry of some of these forests from happening, there are some real concerns here. And for these counties, like San Juan County, with 8% being privately owned, and it's a beautiful county. Josh is absolutely right. I've known Josh for a long time. It's one of the most archaeologically significant places in the entire country.
Have you been down there?
Absolutely.
I want to hear more about that
In
the coming half hour. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, check traffic on KSL News Radio. Ricky Meese starts triple team traffic in the KSL Traffic Center.
And the southbound drive of I-15 filling in and slowing down between 3500 South into Sandy with an accident just before the I-215 interchange, sticking out into the right lane of traffic. Michelle?
Utah County drivers, there's a new crash southbound I-15 after Center Street in Provo, exit 265. The left lane is blocked. The rest of I-15 Utah County looking really good, Mark.
We got a southbound crash heading into downtown on I-15 about North Temple, northbound out of downtown and in through Davis County is looking pretty good. The Salt Lake Home Show, January 6th through 8th at the Southtown Expo Center. For more information and discount tickets, go to saltlakehomeshow.com. Mark Jackson and the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Dan Guthrie with your forecast.
Well, lots of sunshine for us out there today. We've got the snow starting to melt, so we could see the potential for patchy fog overnight as temperatures work their way throughout the 20s and into the teens under clear skies. Also, as we hit the day on Thursday, we're going to start to see air quality deteriorating, so get ready for that inversion to build back in as we head toward the weekend. The high for Thursday, up to 35 degrees. I'm Dan Guthrie in the KSL Weather Center.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's 4:31 at KSL News Radio. We have blue sky, 31 degrees.
We have delays in both directions, I-15 between Sandy and the South Interchange. I'm Mark Jackson.
Along with Doug Wright, I'm Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story. Rumors proved true today as President Obama used his power under the Antiquities Act to declare two new national monuments. One's in Nevada, the other in Utah's Four Corners region.
We're bringing you a special hour of coverage on Utah's new monument. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson is live at the state capitol, where Governor Herbert plans to speak at any moment. Paul, what's going on at the capitol?
Well, right now, Doug, we are waiting for the governor to come in and give us his statement about the designation. But not only with his disappointment, he's going to issue his disappointment, but words like outrage and disgusted are being used by Utah's congressional delegation after learning that the president is going to designate the Bears Ears area as a national monument. The governor issued a statement, though, earlier, saying he was deeply disturbed at the process, adding that the president has misused his authority under the Antiquities Act, and he also accuses the president of ignoring Native American groups who count on the lands as their heritage to co-manage it. And he also says that the president ignored every elected official inside the state. Now, as I mentioned before, we are waiting for the governor to make his statement official right at the presentation room, and we are waiting for him to walk in.
We will carry the governor's remarks live. Is he coming up now, or is this going to be still a few moments?
I think we're just standing by for the governor.
Okay,
continue. Yeah, we're standing by for him to come by.
All right, continuing our special hour of live coverage on Utah's new monument. Not all of Utah's political leaders are opposed to President Obama's actions, declaring a new national monument in San Juan County today.
And State Representative Joel Briscoe sits on the State Commission for the Stewardship of Public Lands. He's with us now live on the KSL Newsline. And Representative Briscoe, let's get your thoughts on what has unfolded, not only for the state of Utah today, but also for southeastern Nevada.
I wasn't aware of what happened there, Doug. I've been focused on, you know, Utah and the Bears Ears. So another one was created in southeast Nevada?
Yes, there was. It's called Gold Butte National Monument. And even though this hasn't been absolutely confirmed, I've heard this from several different sources, that it will include some of the lands that either is adjacent to or around or is grazed by the Cliven Bundy family down in Nevada. And so that's raised a few eyebrows whether or not that is going to poke the hornet's nest.
Well, do you know what? I'm not prepared to talk about Cliven Bundy, but I am prepared to say how absolutely delighted and happy I am to know that many of these sacred areas are going to be protected. I mean, the original proposal came in 1936 during the Franklin Roosevelt administration. I mean, we've been talking about this for 80 years. 6 years ago, Secretary Ken Salazar spoke to Governor Herbert and said, you know, we're looking at creating a Bears Ears National Monument. So this is not, people who say this is a midnight monument are not accurate. There's been lots of discussion. And I'm also pleased that the language that the tribes wrote about cooperative management was written into the declaration the president signed. That, to me, was one of the most important pieces, that they be involved in managing this land.
Representative Briscoe, are you convinced, and again, I bring this up just because I know and have very dear friends. As a matter of fact, former mayor of Tropic is a dear, dear friend of mine. He's on an LDS mission right now. But as Grand Staircase was being declared and promises just like this were being made to the people in Garfield County, that don't worry about the grazing rights, don't worry about the access, we are going to make special accommodation, we are going to take care of you, we are aware that 10% of the land in Garfield County is privately owned, we are aware that this is raising some eyebrows and concerns, but don't worry, be happy, because it will all be peachy. And it wasn't, Representative, it just flat wasn't. And you look at what has happened in Garfield County, you look at the employment of Garfield County, you look at some of the things that have been promised that have not come about, and especially since you mention our Native American friends, our indigenous peoples of the state of Utah, the Aneth chapter, as you're well aware, was not for this at all, and they are the only chapter that completely lives in and makes their living in this area. They are extremely concerned about this. Are you absolutely convinced that this time, this president will keep these promises?
Doug, you raised an important question on the Aneth chapter. I think the Mary Boys, Kenneth and Mark Mary Boy, are from the Aneth chapter. So when you say everyone in the Aneth chapter is opposed, that's not. I don't believe that's exactly true.
It's fair to say the majority, though, the vast majority.
Yeah. But every elected Navajo official who represents the people south of the San Juan River in Utah County voted in favor of, every elected Navajo official elected by Navajos voted in favor of the Bears Ears National Monument. There are going to be a lot of people dogging this. Not only are the Native American tribes dogging this, but the people who live in the area are going to be dogging this. I've also seen a research report by an out-of-state economics firm that shows that since 1996, per capita income is up in Garfield County and the area surrounding Grand Staircase National Monument. Now, sometimes it's different kinds of jobs. And there is some dislocation, and I think a lot of it's people who don't like being, feel like they're being told what to do. But these lands are U.S. lands. They are public lands. I spoke to representatives of the tribes this afternoon. They are committed to working with everyone in the area, working with the federal government, the state government, the county government, the localities. And they are serious that they want the legacy of this to be one of healing. We live in a political culture that isn't really interested in healing right now. And I hope that everyone involved on whatever side of whatever issue can find a way of being respectful to one another, of listening to one another, and trying to understand.
When we had some of those who were proponents of the Bears Ears National Monument on the phone, it was a speakerphone meeting with our editorial board, they were mentioning the things that they were under the impression would be absolutely protected with a Bears Ears National Monument. They mentioned wood gathering. They mentioned certain sacred rites. They mentioned certain accesses. And honestly, we're all looking around the table during that editorial board meeting going, these are all things that generally are not allowed in a national monument, the very things that they were mentioning. So unless special accommodation is given, and unless that promise is kept, I fear for the disappointment. And that's what I'm hoping.
I'm not an expert on their creation, but a person I spoke to this summer who was involved in the proposal, the intertribal proposal, told me that it depended upon the language. But the language can indicate that these are the values that are important for the management of this. So if that's written in, and it better be written in, or we'll watch for it carefully, then it should be managed that way. I mean, if the president's going to put in language that says there's going to be cooperative management, and it's very clear that religious practices, indigenous religious practices by the First Nations, take place on the land, then they need to take place on the land.
Joel, I really hope that that's the case, and I appreciate you joining us here at KSL.
You bet.
Our own Dave Cawley, our executive producer, is in the studio right now to talk about the boundaries of the new national monument.
Jeff, we're waiting on the governor to come and issue a statement, but I just wanted to give you a little idea of where this is we're talking about, since we're hearing a lot of kind of back and forth about the politics of it, but very little about the specifics of the land. So originally, the Intertribal Coalition had proposed 1.9 million acres that would have gone all the way from the Navajo Nation boundary clear up to basically the outskirts of Moab in kind of a rough triangle. What we have now instead from the president is 1.35 million acres, so it's a good deal smaller. But to give you an idea, this is starting just below Moab. It will be bounded by Canyonlands National Park at the top, stretching all the way down on the eastern edge along the Monticello-Blanding Bluff line.
We're going to interrupt you because Governor Herbert's about to speak, I believe, at the state capitol. Let's listen in live.
I received a phone call from Secretary Sally Jewell. And a courtesy call to let me know that the president was, in fact, going to designate the Bear's Ears as a national monument. I appreciate the fact that Sally took time to give me a call and give me a heads up before it was released to the press and to the people of America of the president's action. So I thank her for that courtesy call. We had a good conversation, nothing that was probably surprising on either side of the issue. She knew where I was at, and certainly I understood what she was saying representing the president's position. The upshot was that we're going to declare Bear's Ears a national monument of about 1.35 million acres. They feel like that they're doing that in behalf of the Native Americans themselves and think that it's the right thing to do. I certainly disagree. We've always agreed that there needed to be some protection to that area, and what they've done is put additional restrictions on by use of the National Monument designation using the Antiquities Act, which probably, in my view, does not in fact answer the questions that the Native Americans have asked. They want co-management capability. That can only happen legislatively. It cannot happen through a national monument, and so I think it doesn't in fact give the Native Americans what they are asking for, and I think they're going to be disappointed in what they actually receive. Secondly, we just say, you know, 1.35 million acres, and I know that's probably an attempt by the Obama administration to say, listen, we've listened, and although we originally were going to do 1.9 million acres, now we're only doing 1.35 million acres, it's still a very large area. It's bigger than the size of the state of Delaware, larger than Rhode Island. It's larger than our largest national park, which is Canyonlands, which is 350,000 acres. So this is a million more acres of land, ostensibly to add protections, which interestingly, the BLM themselves could actually have those protections they want to have there to protect the artifacts and still preserve access to the general public to that area. So the monument, I think, is really unnecessary other than making a statement. And I think the statement is being made is one of politics, and the process involved in this is really disappointing to me because clearly, as we know, 60% of the people of Utah are opposed to a national monument. The number rises dramatically as you get close to the Bear's Ears area in San Juan County. The elected officials that represent the state in Congress are all opposed to it. The governor's opposed to it. Our legislature, the vast majority, are opposed to it. At best, the Native Americans are divided. And most of those who are supportive of the National Monument designation reside outside the state of Utah. So there clearly has been kind of a willingness to ignore what the people of Utah want, and what they think is in the best interest of not only their own backyards, but the people of America, as well as the Native Americans themselves. Two last points. This now brings to total 25 different national monuments declared by this president. It's not so much, in my mind, the use of the Antiquities Act for national monument designation, but it's the continuing abuse of the National Monument, or of the Antiquities Act for National Monument, for whatever your constituency is that have an agenda, the extreme environmental community, as opposed to just the common folk that live in rural Utah and rural America. I'm disappointed that we have, again, the claim now being made by the presidents, I've done more national monuments than any other president in history. And that's true. Not only the 25 now, bring the total with the two today, but a four additional that he's expanded. It's not the democratic way, certainly not the American way, where we have some kind of a dictatorship that says with one wave of the arm, says, I will declare in spite of what the rest of the people believe in the area that's so designated. I think that's just bad process. And it is added to the divisiveness of the public land issues that we have here in this state and other states. The growing unrest that we have here is going to be just exacerbated because of this designation, is my fear. The process has been flawed, and I think that's the thing we need to concentrate on, is process. Last but not least, the question ultimately is going to be, what do we do about it? There certainly are opportunities for remedy, for change, for modification, for improvement, and I expect that we'll use all that we have within our power under the law to, in fact, make a change and modify what is being designated today as the Bears Ears National Monument.
Governor, what do you make of the fact that it appears the Interior Department has copied the PLI, almost the same footprint as the PLI map for that area?
I think they're doing that to help with their justification.
We're going to continue to monitor Governor Herbert's remarks here on KSL News Radio. Joining us live now, Boyd Matheson from the Sutherland Institute. Doug Wright from KSL News Radio is with us live in studio. Doug?
We were just listening to the governor talk about how he got the courtesy call, and he appreciated the call from Sally Jewell, and he was notified just before it was released, although you and I have talked about this. Based on some of the timelines that we've received from our congressmen and even Senator Mike Lee, I think the news departments knew even before some of our elected representatives.
Both were furious. They duly noted right. The slight.
And just absolutely. Very quickly, what the governor had to say for those who just tuned in, he said everybody has always agreed that there was protections needed for this area of the state, and he said that he's concerned that this will not answer the management questions and concerns of Native Americans. The governor said he thinks that the Native Americans will be disappointed. He said going from 1.9 million to 1.35 million acres will give the president some wiggle room, saying, see, we did listen to you. He said that he feels that instead of really declaring a national monument, a statement has been made, politics has been played here. And he said that this isn't so much a use of the Antiquities Act as it is an abuse of the Antiquities Act. He believed, this is the governor, that this will add to the divisiveness that we have not only here in the state, but also throughout the West on Western lands issues. And he said, so, what do we do about it? And he said that we'll basically do everything humanly possible. And momentarily, we'll be talking with Boyd Matheson from the Sutherland Institute, and Jeff will get his thoughts on all of this.
President Obama again declaring a new national monument at Bears Ears this afternoon with very little notice and no official announcement, at least no sound clip, no video. He's in Hawaii on vacation. The announcement was two paragraphs that were posted on whitehouse.gov. Our coverage will continue. Continue on KSL News Radio. Right now, we want to take a brief moment to bring you up to speed on the roads this afternoon. KSL Triple Team traffic begins with Ricky Meese.
We have some typical delays setting in southbound I-15 between the I-80-201 interchange down to about 106 south in Sandy. Michelle?
I-15 in Utah County is a smooth commute at this point everywhere, except there is still a crash being cleared at southbound I-15 after Center Street in Provo, exit 265. The left lane is blocked. Mark?
Davis County delays are starting to tighten right now northbound I-15 right about Gentile Street, 1000 North Layton Parkway area. Jordan Valley Cancer Center is Utah's new cancer facility specializing in cancer treatment, helping patients thrive. Their comprehensive prevention programs include health screenings, genetic testing, education, biopsies, and counseling. JVCancerCenter.com. Mark Jackson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines, or, yeah, on the nines, sure. 7-day forecast now, down Dan Guthrie, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Farmington.
Well, Jeff, as we get ready to head into the weekend, we're going to start to see air quality deteriorating in the valley location, so not a bad time to head off to the mountains. Weather pattern's going to be quiet. We'll be sunny, 35 for Thursday, mostly sunny, 36 for Friday, and partly cloudy, 34 for Saturday. But again, air quality will be deteriorating. As for the day on Sunday for New Year's, we'll have some scattered snow showers developing in the afternoon, and they'll be on and off throughout the evening on Sunday, Monday, and into Tuesday morning. And by Wednesday, highs fall to 20 degrees. I'm Dan Guthrie in the KSL Weather Center.
31 degrees in Salt Lake City, introducing Mercedes-Benz of Farmington. One price, one person, 1 hour, one customer at a time. KSL News Time 450, our coverage of Bears Ears, the new national monument, continues on KSL News Radio. Doug Wright, we're happy that you're here taking time out from your vacation to lend your expertise.
Well, boy, when I caught word of this, I thought, man, I'm gonna go down to the station and just hang out so I know what's going on, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well,
to join you.
You picked a great room to hang out in. Welcome to the
this
studio.
This is a great room. And we have Boyd Matheson, who is joining us right now. Boyd has quite a background in politics, including a former chief of staff to Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee. Now he is the president of the Sutherland Institute. And Boyd, you and I have chatted a little bit. We've been texting back and forth. We chatted for just a few moments. This is one of those things that everybody really felt there was a high probability that it would happen. Many thought it would happen before Christmas. Are you surprised at how it ultimately has unfolded?
You know, I think it's a little bit indicative of how the process has worked. A lot of fits and starts, a lot of promises for collaboration and discussion and dialogue, and then just a lot of radio silence. And so I do think the fact that the president did this at the 6 p.m. Eastern time on the Wednesday after Christmas, you know, while he's 3,000 miles away in Hawaii, really shows what this process was about. It's unfortunate, and I think it's going to continue to create some challenges for the state, for sure, for the Navajo tribes there in particular. And to me, that's the sign of disrespect, that the president seems to be kind of thumbing his nose at Utah and the people of San Juan County to do it this way. There's so many ways he could have done this that would have at least fostered a different kind of conversation than we're having right now.
I guess the thing that's so frustrating for so many of us, and there are extremes on both sides, we all acknowledge that, but the one thing that everybody agrees on is that this area is just incredible. There are such treasures there. The argument has been, should we break it down? Should we have some areas that are absolutely protected to the highest degree of wilderness? Should there then be national parks carved out of this? Should there then be national monuments? Should there be protected land? Should there be various designations? Everybody has agreed, but now all of a sudden, and we don't have 1.9, we have 1.35 million acres, and it just is kind of that big footprint that unfortunately we've seen before, and I really wonder, is this the proper husbandry of this land?
That's right, and I think that's the real test of this, Doug, and as people really start to dig in and look at what this really means, one of the things I think has been missing in the conversation so far today is that the proclamation talks about cooperative management. Cooperative management is mentioned. There is nothing in there that says co-management. So in other words, what they're saying is cooperative management, which means they're going to listen to the tribes and those who have input there in the area, but the federal government still has the deciding vote. And based on what we've seen roll out today and how this is rolled out, you know, I have to hand it to our delegation. They have bent over backwards to try to provide language and options and things that would be good and that could represent some really good compromise and some good dialogue. And at almost every turn, that has been met with either just a flat rebuke or radio silence. And so I think the challenge is by doing it this way, by the president doing it with the stroke of a pen, it ends that trust and that dialogue that we need, as you said, Doug, to make sure we do take care of this. Everybody wants that, and nobody wants it more than the people of San Juan County, and they're being short-circuited out of the process. And unfortunately, I think one of the byproducts of that, and this is not a political issue, this is just a trust issue in terms of how do you have conversations moving forward based on the lack of trust or the lack of delivery on promises that we've had up to this point in the program.
I think that's of great concern, and I've brought it up with everybody that we have talked to, whether they're for Bears Ears or not, and everybody is for the protection of this land in some form or fashion. But so many promises were made that when Grand Staircase was declared, and we were all caught off guard with that, but at least President Clinton made it a big deal. I mean, this was a big deal, and he had quite a ceremony. It was on the north rim of the Grand Canyon in Arizona, unfortunately. Not a single representative, a currently elected representative in the state of Utah, was with him at the time. But it was a big deal, and it was a big announcement, and at the time, all of the assurances were made surrounding Grand Staircase that, yes, we are aware that this is a big footprint. We are aware that this is going to alter some lives, and we are making accommodation. And you talk to some of the people for whom that accommodation was intended, and there's a little bit of a bitter feeling about that. And so I wonder, the assurances and the promises that are being made now, the governor, I thought, stated it very well. He said, it doesn't answer the management questions of the Native Americans, and I think they'll be disappointed. That's pretty close to a quote.
Yeah, and that's sadly where we are. This string of broken promises, and this goes back to so much of what is at the heart of who we are as American. It was never intended for this stuff to happen by a single executive making the call. It's supposed to go through Congress. There's supposed to be local input. That's how we're supposed to operate. But unfortunately, you have had presidents of both political parties use the Antiquities Act to, we call it making a monument unto themselves. And we know that never ends well. If you have to declare it that it's your monument, then it really isn't. You know, I don't know anyone in Garfield County who would like to put up a statue of Bill Clinton for all the great things that have happened as a result of his monument being put in Garfield County. And I'm quite certain you're not going to see any statues of President Obama in San Juan County anytime soon, because it's not the right process. Everybody can make this thing happen in terms of compromise and dialogue. There are the strident voices at the ends of the spectrum, mm-hmm. but I think we can get past those. But we have to do it the right way through the right process. And President Obama, sadly, has circumvented that, broken a lot of promises, and created a lot of animosity that I think is going to make it hard to navigate moving forward.
Boyd, very quickly, there have been two national monuments declared today by President Obama from Hawaii, and one is in our neighbor to the west in Nevada, southeastern Nevada. It's Golden Butte, and I have heard rumblings that the Bundy Ranch in some way, form, or fashion will be affected by that new national monument. We only have a second or two. What have you heard?
Yeah, I've heard similar, that there will be the land surrounding the ranch there. Some of the grazing area will be part of that monument, which again seems to be so politically and so petty in an area that is a real tinderbox in and of itself. I hope this doesn't lead to other things, but it seems to be an unnecessary poke in the eye and a political spiking of the football. So we had a double football move today. You had the Lucy move on Charlie Brown with the monument today. And now we've got the spiking of the ball with the Bundy Ranch by the president.
You know, Boyd, what you were speaking about, monuments unto themselves when presidents do this, I wonder whether it might become called the Obama Ears Monument at some point. This is really focused on three points as we've talked to leaders and movers and shakers in Utah over the past hour. What was done, of course, Bears Ears National Monument. How it was done, that people weren't notified that the president did this while on vacation in Hawaii, with a simple two-paragraph note posted on whitehouse.gov. But what we haven't heard much about is what's going to be done about this. Doug?
While Boyd is here, because you've worked very closely with Senator Lee over the years, and Boyd, let me tell you, Boyd, when we talked to him earlier, he was ticked. And I asked him if part of the legacy of President Obama might be the undoing of the Antiquities Act. And boy, Jason Chaffetz was hot under the collar as well.
You know, I think that is one of the interesting things that's going to come out of all of this. You've got a lot of the environmental groups who also seem to be spiking the football today. And it's sad because I think there is a reason for the Antiquities Act, and I think it does need to be amended and modified, and I think that will happen as we get into the new Congress with the new administration. I think that will be taken up. And the sad thing is that because of this approach from President Obama, I think it actually hurts the environmental issues because it's so destroyed the trust that has been there or that has been built up. So I think you've got a lot of challenges moving forward with it. I do think you'll see some amendments moving forward rather rapidly in the new year relating to the changing of the Antiquities Act. That there'll be some sort of amendment there. I don't know that they'll go full repeal off the bat, but I think there are some ways to amend the Antiquities Act to get it a little more closer to what the original intent was.
Boyne Matheson from the Sutherland Institute, thanks so much. Doug Wright, we thank you for being here this afternoon.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Taking time out from your vacation. If you'd like to hang out a little longer, we'd love to have you. Or you can go back to vacation.
I'll be lurking in the background, but this was time well spent.
I appreciate you being here. KSL News Time, 5 o'clock. Let's check traffic and weather together now. Triple Team Traffic begins with Ricky Meese.
We do have a right lane block southbound I-15 about 60th South with a crash, and that's adding to the delays stretching back to 2100 South. Michelle?
We're looking at good travel times, I-15 in Utah County, both directions, Mark.
A conked out car is getting some assistance right now, northbound I-15, Davis County, about Church Street and Layton. Say thousands during the Piano Gallery's year-end closeout. All remaining 2016 pianos are priced to clear. Save on top brands like Yamaha, the Piano Gallery Superstore, I-15 to 53rd South. Mark Jackson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 9s on KSL. Tonight, expect a low around 14 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine, back we go toward 33. Friday, much the same story. We're expecting sunshine. Expect a high around 31 degrees. Weekend looks pretty good.
Listen to breaking news wherever you go on the mobile app for KSL. Download from your phone's app store under KSL Radio. KSL FM Midvale. KSL Salt Lake City. KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. The KSL 5 o'clock report begins now.
An eventful afternoon. I'm Jeff Kaplan. KSL's top story on the 5 o'clock report. Breaking news from the White House today over a scenic and